Today's scripture reading comes from 1 Peter 2, 4-10. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame." Now to you who believe, this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated.
Good morning, church. Again. During Christmas time, I have some days off. So I talked to Chris, my son. Let's do something meaningful this time, rather than just eating. You remember when you were young, we bought a Lego set. So one time, just the two of us, we walked past by. I don't know why we just two of us before Simo and Grace. So just two of us walked by a Lego store. And then we walked in there, and Chris is really crazy about Legos. But they're all so expensive. But somehow, we got our eyes focused on this set here. It's quite a big set. It's quite expensive. It's over $100. So we have two people meeting, and Cynthia was not there. And then, if she was there, I'm sure she won't let us buy a $100 Lego set. So you unanimously we voted we'll buy this set, $100. So we bought it home, very, very happy. And then Cynthia, of course, not very happy. You know, it's so expensive, $100 toy. It's not a toy, it's a Lego. Lego is not a toy. It's a piece of engineering work. So we put together and started assembling it right away. And then, but we only got half finished. And then it's quite a bit of work there, over 2,000 pieces. So we put the finished piece on his shelf, and then the rest we put it in a box. And that was like 10 years ago. So I said, okay, before your baby comes, let's put this Lego together because this was purchased for you. So we sat together, and it's really fun putting Legos together. I don't know how many of you have done it. So you start off with the base plate, the foundation at the bottom, which is, I don't know why, it always seems to be the green color. And then you start from the corner most of the time, and then you slowly... Goodness, we already put up half of it some years ago, but we still over 1,000 pieces. So we slowly, two of us, we put it together. We really enjoy this quality time together. And then we talk about other things, and my mind is always on my sermon. So I start thinking my sermon, my next sermon, which is today, is on the living stone. So I start thinking about living stone. Cornerstone. And it's a really good Lego set. Each room has its own different design. The one on the right, the guy is actually painting the washroom. You see that? Isn't this amazing? Painting the washroom, you can see some white paint on the wall. It's so detailed. I could spend all day talking about Lego, but we don't have time. It's already 3 minutes. It's gone. And then we ordered a pet shop on the ground floor, bedrooms. So 5 hours later, it's finished. It's done. And all this time, my mom started preparing my sermon, and then he just keep talking about his other things. And then I start look for, because there's supposed to be a cornerstone in the building, right? So I look for a cornerstone, and there is one. There's a one piece. I'm sure the guy who designed this did not have this Second Peter in his mind. But there's a piece of cornerstone there. Isn't this amazing? All right, okay, you guys are not Lego fans. But there's a piece of Lego, a cornerstone. And today, we look at this passage, 2 Peter, that Christ is the cornerstone. It's the cornerstone for our church. Next time when we build this church, hopefully we can, we'll put a piece of cornerstone at the corner there. And this passage, today, this passage that we are going to study, and coming to him as to a living stone. So this stone is not just a dead stone. It's a living stone, a stone that has life in it, which has been rejected by man, but is choice and precious in the sight of God. You also, as living stone, but we are also living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood. It's like that Lego set. The cornerstone is the very first piece, or maybe not the very first, but the first piece, let's be put in at the corner there, and that sets the direction upward, sideways, how we build the rest of that house. So here, Christ is the living stone. But we are also, each one of us is a piece of living stone, not dead rock. Some of us may feel like we are dead rock or even fossil. But let's remember ourselves by Peter here that we are a living stone. And this idea of Christ as the living stone did not originate in the New Testament or by Peter, but by in the Old Testament, in Isaiah, it's already mentioned. For I lay a stone in Zion, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone for a sure foundation. So 900, close to 1,000 years before Christ was born, it was already prophesied in the Bible that God will lay a piece of cornerstone. It's tested. It is someone that is not a piece of rock, but it's a person, someone we can trust. It's tested. It's a precious stone. It's just the foundation. Foundation for what? We'll continue and study this. So, a tested stone is meaning that Christ, here is referring to Christ, is tested, that is reliable, is trustworthy. It can endure trials and challenges. It can prove its worth and strength over time. So it is interesting that when John prayed this morning, he prayed about earthquake. Nine, that's very scary. 6.5 will be enough to cause a lot of damage here. 7, it will be a disaster. 9, I cannot imagine 9. When we build a house, we want to build it on solid foundation, right? And John is right. We are in a seismic zone, the lower mainland here. So we do have to remind ourselves we should prepare emergency kits. So at home, we have 2 emergency kits, one at the front door and one at the back door, in case we're in the middle of the house, we cannot get to the front or the end. So we always have one in a big bag, water, granola bars at the front, and the one at the back, just to make sure that we can get to one of those. So you do have to prepare. So we are in an earthquake zone. The fact that we have not have a major earthquake, that is even makes it even more likely that we will have one tomorrow. the longer you wait, the more urgent it is. So when you build a house in Lower Mainland, we have to build on a solid foundation, isn't it? So this map is actually shows you where the bedrock is. The black color is the bedrock. Those are as solid as rock. So it won't move much when the earthquake comes. But that's too far away. We don't want to live in Langley. That's too far to come to church. Why? We have trouble in coming to church on time even when we live in Vancouver. So the yellow is where most of us are living, Vancouver, Burnaby. And the red color is called the lowland sediment. Black is the bedrock. So we're actually living on sediment. So the yellow are more solid, but the red color is modern lowland sediments. And it was subject to liquefaction. I'm not going to go into engineering today. Liquefaction is because the soil is saturated with water. So when the earthquake comes, the earthquake goes sideways, right? Not up. So when the earthquake comes, the sand will sink to the bottom. Right? The water will rise. Right? So it's called liquefaction. So in an earthquake, in the orange color area, the sand will sink. The water will rise and cause damage. So when we build a house, we want to build it on a solid rock. So when we build a church, we want to build it on a solid rock, which is Christ. Isaiah 28:17, I will make justice the measuring line and righteousness the plumb line. Plumb line is used to for construction. Because you hang a plumb line there, the plumb line is always vertical. So you don't have to use any instrument. The plumb line is is always the gravity, never lies. It's always correct. So we use the plumb line to build a house, a building. So our cornerstone, living stone, Christ, is our plumb line. Our church should set our eyes on Christ. So Christ, the cornerstone, he's the first stone laid. He's the firstborn of many. It's the most important part of our church. It's also the most important part of our faith. As the Bible scripture said, this cornerstone, Christ, is reliable. It sets the foundation. It sets the direction, just like Christ. It sets the foundation for BCAC, for all the churches. And it sets the direction of our church. So during our board meeting, we have one this past Thursday. Don't listen to the rumor. We always finish in 2 to 3 hours. Are we going to say 1 hour? Never hit the midnight. But we always, during the meeting, we always pray. Every few minutes, when we have an item, we pray for that item. We don't wait at the end of a prayer meeting. So our board meeting is like a prayer meeting. So we have to pray for God's direction. Our church, our ministry, everything, Christ is our cornerstone, our foundation, our plumb line. So it is important when we serve, who's the church? We are the church. So when we say that the church is built on Christ, but we ourselves, each one of us, our ministry has to, our life has to be built on Christ. When we serve, when I preach, I have to always remind myself, I'm not just preaching a sermon here. I have to deliver a message. And my message always have to bring people back to Christ. My job as a preacher is not just to deliver an interesting talk so that people will laugh, they won't go to sleep. But if by the end of my message, I did not lead people to Christ, then I have not done my job. I may deliver a very interesting, deliver a very appealing message. Talk about all kinds of stories, statistics, pictures. But at the end of the day, people's hearts did not turn to Christ because of my message, I did not do a good job. It's not a good sermon. Same as our ministry. If today we are leading people to sing as a worship singer, the job of the worship team is very important. And our job is not just to have a good time for ourselves to enjoy the singing, but it's to lead people into Christ, to lead people to sing. That's our job. We are not here to perform. We are here to lead people to sing. That include the ushers, everyone here, saying prayers. So our ministry is to bring people to Christ. And then 2 Peter continue to tell us, now to you who believe, this stone is precious. For us, it's precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that caused people to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But for some people who do not know Christ, for the world that's outside church, our faith becomes their stumbling block, stumbling rock. So that's why today the outside world is so against Christ, against the Bible. Because the Bible, the truth, will point out their wrongdoings. Taking drugs is no good. But the law is prepared to protect the good people. It's only the very small percentage of people who find that the law is offensive, isn't it? The law tells us that certain things are not good. But for the criminals, the laws are the stumbling blocks because they disobey the laws. Unfortunately, sometimes we change the laws just to suit the public. So to the unbelieving, but even to us, sometimes Christians, some of the Bible's teaching could be stumbling block to us. We all like to talk about the love of God that's described in the Bible, but we do not want to talk too much about judgment, because people do not like to hear that. Non-Christian, the world doesn't like to hear about judgment. We always want to talk about embracing people, but we do not want to talk about what things that God abhors, God does not like. So we have to be careful. Is Christ's teaching our cornerstone of our life, or sometimes a stumbling block? We select the Bible teachings that we like. Coming to worship is, if you look at the Old Testament, is there's a commandment that we have to worship God each week. But if you do not like that, sometimes we will put that, we only pick certain teachings in the Bible that we want to take. In 1799, a 12-year boy by the name of Conrad Lee from North Carolina. So one time he went fishing, this 12-year-old boy, and then he found a piece of rock in the river. This rock looks a bit, the color looks a bit different from other rocks. It's about 17 pounds. So this boy, Conrad Reed, took the rock home and showed it to his father. And his father said, looks a bit different. You know, the color is a bit shiny. It doesn't look like an ordinary rock, but he doesn't know what it is. So we just, let's do it as a doorstop. So we put it at the door. So we use this rock as a doorstop. I guess in those days, you cannot buy a $1 doorstop from Dollar Subway. So this rock would be perfect, 17 pounds as a doorstop. So after 3 years, in 1802, a friend came by and then he noticed that this rock is different. So he bought the rock for them for $3.50. This is a lot of money at that time, about a month's salary. And then he went and analyzed it, and then found that it is. That's right, you guessed it right, it's gold. It's a gold bar. It's 8-inch long, gold bar inside there. And it worth $3,600 at that time, which is about 20 years of wages for ordinary working people. And then because of that, started the gold rush in the U.S., that everybody rushed to the river, and then they find gold there. And this is recorded in the Museum of Mining in the U.S. It is kind of a bit sad, I guess, you know, this piece of gold sitting there for 3 years, worth a lot of money. I estimate that today is about close to $1 million, and used as a doorstop. So brothers and sisters, is Christ are you using Christ as your doorstop, or it is cornerstone and foundation of your life? So what does it mean? So Christ is the living stone, cornerstone. So we are little living stones. So what does it mean? What do we have to do? So this part of this passage in verse 9 to 10 is to tell us, so what do we do? What shall we do as a living stone, a part of this living stone structure? But here it says, continue. So this is not a separate theme from starting from verse 9. So after Peter tells us about the cornerstone, it tells, but, so that means it is a continuation of his message. But, and then he reminded all of us, all of Christians here, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. Once you were not God's people, but now you are the people of God. Once you have not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. It's talking about us church, not the Jewish people, not the Israelites. But you are a chosen people. And all four of these descriptions about our status, identity here, are from the Old Testament. You are a chosen people, came from Deuteronomy 7:6. The Lord your God has chosen you. You're talking to the Israel people. To be a people for his treasured possession. Out of all the peoples on earth who are on the face of the earth, God chose the Israelites. And today the Jewish people still believe that they are the only chosen people. But here, the passage clearly tells us that we, all of us, are God's chosen people today. Before we were not. Once you were not, but now you are a chosen people of God. And Jesus confirmed that. Therefore, I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken, talking to the Jewish people, taken away from you and given to a people producing the fruit of it. Today, we are the church. We are God's chosen people. Actually, anybody who believes Christ have this honor or become God's chosen people. So first, we have to realize that we are special people. We are not like the other people who do not know Christ. We are specially selected. I was reading an ad on the U.S. website. They're looking for people to join the army and become this special force. You know, in the U.S., they have 1.4 million people in the army, but only 2.5% can be selected to join the special force unit. And they receive special training, and they are the best of the best in the army. So today, we are special selected people. We have to realize that. We are not just anybody on earth. We are God's chosen people. And then the Bible here, go move on to to remind us that we are a royal, royal priesthood. We are royalty. Well, not that we really care, we want to be royalty, but you are royalty. You are a royal priesthood. Royal priesthood meaning that we have a special mission. In the Old Testament time, the priest holds a very high, the highest status in the nation of Israel. They are the mediator between God and people. Same today. Today we are priests, all of us, a royal priest, and our job is to function as a mediator between people and God. And we have a very important task for us. 1 Peter 2:5, you also, we read the first part, but now the second part, you are a living stone, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood. To do what? To offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament time, they offer animals as sacrifice. But today, we, all of us, you, all of you, are priests, royal priests. And you have to offer sacrifice, spiritual sacrifice, fortunately. Otherwise, everybody will bring a sheep to church. It will be a big mess here. Romans 12:1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. Hebrews 13:15. Let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise. So today we come to church to offer singing as our sacrifice. When you come through the door, imagine yourself as a sacrifice. We offer our body to the Lord as a sacrifice. Hebrews 13:16. And do not forget to do good work, to do good and to share with others, to help others out. For with such sacrifices, God is pleased. We help other people. We help the world. We donate. We give. And that is a spiritual sacrifice. It's also in the Philippians 4:18. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice. That's helping missionaries, helping poor, he is referring to, helping other ministries, giving, donation, offering. That is also a sacrifice. And leading people to Christ is a sacrifice. Romans 15:16. So that the Gentiles may become an offering acceptable to God, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. We bring people to Christ. That is a spiritual sacrifice. So we have a very royal, special task. All of us are priests. We have to offer spiritual offerings. And then it moves on. Go on. We are a holy, I should keep saying you, not we. You are a holy nation. Holy. Sometimes with the word holy, we think that, oh, it's a very high standard requirement to be holy. Holy in the Old Testament, all it meant, man is separate. Holy is meaning separate. We are to separate apart from the world to be for God only. So I found this cartoon. We are different. We are different because we are a royal priest. We are chosen people. We are a holy nation, meaning that we are separate. We separate ourselves for God. We should not do things that everyone, the world is doing. The world thinks it's okay. But unfortunately, our color is not white. Sometimes white become gray, in gray area. Sometimes we want to conform to our friends, what people around us are doing, so that we don't want to stand out like this little bird here. I don't know what kind of bird is. We don't want to stand out in the crowd. We want to be like others. We want to be accepted by our friends. So we become slowly our feathers. Color of feather turn from white to gray. or even worse, to dark gray. But we are a holy nation. And the most important, the last one here, that God reminds us that we are God's possession, special possession. I find this one is most meaningful. That not just all these titles, but we are a special. The original Hebrew is exactly, this is a New American Standard. The original word means possession. We are a possession. We are owned by God. It's not just titles. God is our father, husband, friend. God is our shepherd. He's our savior. And the fourth one is, I think it should be more than meaningful to us. We are God's possessions. We are owned by God. Not just giving you all this title. Because you are elder, you are different. You have to behave like an elder. No, we are owned by God. We are God's children. We are God's special possession. Should not look down on yourself. I must first have the sense of God's possession of me before I can have the sense of His presence with me. Very often, the preachers, pastors tell us that we need to have a relationship with Jesus and relationship with God. And Watchman Nee here remind us, but before that, what's even more important that we have to realize that we are owned by God. Not until we realize that, we can step closer to God. Like this famous famous painting called the Return of the Prodigal Son. It just shows that if we want to have a relationship with God, we have to remind ourselves God owns us. We are His special protection. He loved us. And this will energize us to be a holy nation, to perform the duties of a royal priest, and that we are a special person. So all this reminder, so this morning we have to remind ourselves, we are special. So let us act specially, not to conform to the world. We don't have to look down on our belief. Sometimes we are embarrassed to share our faith. We're embarrassed with the God we believe sometimes. Sometimes we are not that proud of our faith. We don't want our friends to know. We are a bit embarrassed if I say grace with a colleague eating a lunch. But we should be proud ourselves because we are God's special possession. And there is a purpose for us. So all this is just one message I'm sharing here from verse 3 to 10. It's only one message here. Not two messages. So that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So that, there's a purpose. God made us His special possession as a living stone. And there's a purpose that we will proclaim His excellencies. Proclaim. Excellences meaning the words arete, virtue, moral goodness, moral excellence, modesty, purity, God's glory. And proclaim, the word proclaim is evangelio. Evangelio is the word today we call it the English word evangelism. Came from this word proclaim the good news, evangelio. To tell out, to proclaim, to shout, to declare abroad. About this outside, to publish, to make known, to praise Him. Basically, it is to declare God's glory. So we have a mission that God choose us as a special, as His own possession. That's a purpose, so that we can be a living stone to build up this spiritual temple to declare God's glory. This is the message for this passage. And it started off by reminding us that we have to rely on the Christ, the cornerstone, to build up this spiritual church, not on us. As you can see, many of the churches, especially in Europe, they have a very nice building, but there's no people inside. We have to build our church not based on our experience, our skill, our talents, but on Christ and Christ alone, that He is the cornerstone. And we are all living, little living stones or rocks that we have to build on top of Christ for a purpose. For a purpose is to declare His, to proclaim His glory. And we are all chosen to do that. And we should be proud of your job, the job that we've been given. But here it reminds us that we have to build our spiritual church on Christ. I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone. And the one who trusts in Him will never be put to shame. Do not trust our ability. Trust ourselves in ministry. Next year, our church will celebrate 60-year anniversary. It's a long time. We have accumulated a lot of experience. We have done almost every kind of project you can think of. But let's not rely on building up this church programs, even missions, based on our experience, our talents. Every moment, every ministry, we have to build up our ministry based on Christ. And how do we do that? We are the living stones. So each one of us have to build our life on Christ, not on our talents, ability. The problem in the church is always people's problem. And the people's problem is always when we try to serve based on our own ability. Since we talk about earthquake this morning, how many of you have seen this building on Georgia Street on your way to Stanley Park? How many have noticed this building? This building has been here for a long time. I used to work downtown, not too far away from this building. So this building really amazed me, and I was wondering if it's safe to stand under this building. There's no ground floor to this building. And this building was built in 1969. And then I start spending time to study this building. There's no ground floor, you see. There's no columns. Besides the center, that's actually not a column. The center concrete, what do you call the thing? Let's call it column then. But there's no column to support the floor. At that time, they won an award for this. This is an earthquake resist building. At that time, it's a piece of art. And this building, they built a huge concrete column, I guess, but it's not to support anything, this column, the elevator is in there. So this huge concrete column obviously is really strong, can stand any earthquake. The problem with commercial building is that you have many columns supporting each floor, right, and you build up. And these columns could be, I'm going to engineering now, could be, concrete is really strong when you go downwards, right? You can take a lot low. But when you have all these column floors and columns, earthquake is sideways. Right? You shake it, and then this column will just fall down. So that's why a building has to be specially designed to resist earthquakes. And so this building, they build this huge vertical column, and then the each floor is built from the top down. Do you know that? So how do you build from the top down? Well, you have cables, like a suspension bridge. You hang each floor with cables from the top. So that's why I said it's not a column. You hang it like your Christmas tree. So you build from the top, each layer, and then there's no columns, each floor. You can see there's no columns between each floor. So you hang it with a cable. Wow, it may sound scary. The whole building is hanging from the top with this few, obviously, very strong cables. So each floor is built one layer at a time. So that's why it's no ground floor. So when it's finished, so the whole building is actually being, all the floors are hung from those cables on this gigantic one column. So when the earthquake comes, so all the floors will just swing, like a Christmas tree, I guess, you just swing it. But it won't fall down. Right? And this column, because it's so strong, only one piece, it will just move if the floor moves. Right? So the whole thing is just swinging like a suspension bridge. And this is a genius design based on, it's not the only one in the world, really, but it's based on the suspension bridge. So all the floors are attached onto this main big column. And this column will protect all these floors in an earthquake. So when I look at this, it just reminded me of this passage today. We have to build our church, our life on Christ. So when the storms come, when the trials come, this column will stand still. We do not have to resist. We do not have to resist all this attack. Christ will take all these storms, all the earthquakes. We just have to hang on to Him. We'll just move, but we are protected. And that's how we should build our church, not based on ourselves, but on Christ, the cornerstone, the living stone. Then we can hang on. And let's remind ourselves that we are all God's special chosen people, royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession for a purpose to declare His glory. And we can only do that when we build on this living stone, cornerstone, Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, help all of us to build our spiritual life on You, in You, and through You, that we can declare God's glory and fulfill the purpose that You have in our life. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.